B'shalach, there's a fascinating Mishnah Berurah brought down the halacha. Mishnah Berurah brings down the halacha in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. Mishnah Berurah brings down that if a person recites Oz Yashir b'simcha, if a person says Oz Yashir with joy, he's moichel noy kol avoy noisav. He gets mechila for all his averis. Mishnah Berurah brings it down the halacha. Now obviously, this is a hard halacha to accept. It means a guy can do kol dov ra, but as long as he says Oz Yashir, he's good to go. Obviously, he can't mean that, but we definitely see from this Mishnah Berurah that there's something very special to the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf. This was something monumental in Jewish history that we don't just tap into it on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, but it's something that we live with us every single day, to the extent that if a person says it with the same simcha that he feels when the Jewish people went through Kriyas Yamsuf, he's moichel la'avoyin oisav. What exactly is the significance of Kriyas Yamsuf? So I believe the significance of Kriyas Yamsuf is the idea that the Bnei Yisrael actually had to get involved. Till now, the Jewish people were very passive. They were onlookers. They were watching what was going on. They were watching Mitzrayim get punished. They were watching their team win, so to say, and their opposers losing, which is a great feeling. But they didn't have to do anything. They just sat back and watched. They said 10 makas, they sat back and watched. They said Mitzrayim, they were kind of a little bit more active. But when they got to Kriyas Yamsuf, it was the first time they kind of had to show their loyalty and devotion to Hashem. They had to jump into the water. If they don't jump into the water, it's not going to work. So as much as they were a maimin b'Akadosh Baruch Hu, but it's easy to be a maimin when you're sitting back and watching. Now you got to really jump into the water and say, okay, I really believe to the extent I'm going to get wet. You know, as they say, put your money where your mouth is. This is time to show it. So when Klal Yisrael plunged into the water and they showed their dedication and devotion to Hashem, that's when their whole relationship changed between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Klal Yisrael made that plunge into the water with such a conviction that this is right. That's why it's such a powerful tefillah of Oz Yashir. And that's Pshat in this week's parasha. It says in the pasuk, Vayishma Yisra. So Rashi brings down, it's a Gemara. What did Yisra hear? So Yisra heard Kriyas Amolek, he heard the Kriyas Yamsuf of Mechemes Amolek. So everyone asks, that was the two biggest stories that he heard? There's other big stories that he could have heard. 10 Makas, he says Mitzrayim, why none of that? So I think the answer is Pashat. Yisra wasn't looking for a major event. Yisra was looking to see a nation that's devoted to their God and a God that's devoted to their nation. Which events showed that? That was Amolek and Kriyas Yamsuf. Because both those two activities, the Jewish people had to do something. Amolek, we had to go fight them. Kriyas Yamsuf, we had to jump into the water. So we were no longer passive in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We now had to take an active stand and go and do something. And do something which didn't even make sense. Amolek outnumbered us by far. And therefore, that's what motivated Yisra. Yisra said, oh, this is the type of nation I want to be part of. A nation that has a relationship that's not just, oh, I'll sit back and you'll take care of me. No, I'm going to show my dedication and my devotion. And that's why Yisra was motivated only after Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechemes Amolek. We find, right after Moshe Rabbeinu sung Shira, we find Miriam sung Shira. And Rashi points out something very interesting about Miriam's Shira. Rashi points out, where did Miriam have these instruments from? These tupum u'mochales, where did she get instruments from? So Rashi says that Miriam, and I think really not just Miriam, we'll call it the entire female gender, they knew that they were going to leave Mitzrayim. They knew it was going to be major. So they took these instruments with them when they left Mitzrayim. So if throughout Tanakh you find a theme about women, something very interesting, very different than men. The women had much more of an optimistic look about the situation of Klal Yisrael throughout history. We find that in many areas, the women were much more optimistic and the men were much more pessimistic. For example, by the Chet Eagle. By the Chet Eagle, the men right away, they were ready to throw away everything, give away all the jewelry, let's build an eagle. The women said, no, this doesn't make any sense. What are you doing? Stop. Think about it. And that's why the women were rewarded with the present of Rosh Chodesh. We find by the Meraglim. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh points out by the Meraglim, the women were much, much more into Chaviva Saaretz. When the Meraglim came back, the women said, no, no, don't listen, this is good, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. The women throughout the entire experience in Gauls had a much more optimistic outlook than the men did. And even in Mitzrayim, right? Medrash tells us in Mitzrayim, the women used to use these mirrors to beautify themselves, to get the husbands to want to live with them. The women always had a much more optimistic outlook on the future of Klal Yisrael when things were bad. And here also, the men didn't bring the instruments. Maybe they didn't believe it was going to happen. Maybe they didn't think it was going to happen. But the women had this optimistic attitude, a very good way of looking at life. When things are negative, the women always thought about the good. It's going to be good. Don't worry, we'll be okay. Hashem will take care of us. And that's what Miriam's bringing of the instruments showed, that the women had a much better outlook. Probably today also. They have a much better outlook than we do. We're much quicker to be pessimistic and the negative, while the women have a much more optimistic way. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. Don't worry, we'll all be okay. Klal Yisrael goes to Mara, and in Mara, Klal Yisrael finds something that they're not used to having. They have no water. So what happens? They complain. This week's parasha, last week's parasha was an introduction to the concept of kvetchers. Right? Klal Yisrael on the highest level were kvetchers, they're complainers. And they come to Mara, and the first thing they complained about, there was no water, which was a fair time. We need water, it's a basic staple of living. And they come to Mara, there's no water, and they come to Akash Baruch, they complain, Akash Baruch says, fine, take a stick from a bitter tree, throw it into the water. And before I should point out, they had water. It wasn't that there was empty, it was water, just the water was bitter. So they had bitter water and a bitter stick, and they throw it into the water, and all of a sudden the water becomes sweet. So Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, what was the lesson of Mara? Yaakov says that the lesson of Mara is that everything in Judaism doesn't make sense. We are not a religion of logic. We are a religion of way beyond understanding. Not everything that happens in our daily life, it has to make any sense to us. And says, Yaakov, that's okay. It's okay that it doesn't make sense. That a bitter stick thrown into bitter water turns sweet. That doesn't make any sense. Says, Yaakov, the lesson of Mara for the Jewish people before they got the Torah, this is before Kabbalah Satorah, was this lesson, that not everything in life needs to make sense to you. And it's okay if it doesn't make sense. That was the Hakdama, the introduction to the Jewish nation. Before we even got the Torah, we have to learn this lesson. That things are going to happen in our lives that make absolutely no logical sense. And it's okay. Because that's where Kosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov points to. That's what the Jewish people learned by Mara. They learned this very valuable lesson that not everything in life makes sense. Rashi is a problem over here because the Gemara tells us they got certain mitzvahs in Mara. What were the mitzvahs they got in Mara? They got Kibbur HaVeim, they got Dinim, they got courts. And Rashi in Chumash writes, they also got Parah Aduma. So everyone asks on Rashi, the Gemara doesn't say they got Parah Aduma. So the Tarat Mima says it was a printing mistake. Why was it a printing mistake? Because in the earliest Tfus, it had the word, the letter Chaf and Aleph. That stood for Kibbur HaVeim. Some printer later on saw the Chaf, he thought it was a Pei. So he saw Pei Aleph. He said to himself, what's Pei Aleph? Oh, Parah Aduma. So he put down Parah Aduma. So the Tarat Mima thinks the whole thing is a printing mistake. This Rashi that quotes Parah Aduma is one of the mitzvahs they got. It's not true. Like Hayav Alei Nivra. It's not true. The Gemara says not like that. The Gemara never mentions Parah Aduma. So therefore he thinks the whole thing is a printing mistake based on the abbreviations of the word Chaf and Aleph. It turned into Chaf turned into a Pei, and from a Pei someone got creative and turned it into Parah Aduma. Which is it's supposed to really be Kibbur HaVeim. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't say it before, but it's learned that from Drashas that it's Kibbur HaVeim. But the Chaf and Aleph are easily interchanged, and that's how it ended up being Parah Aduma. The Chaf and the Pei, yeah. In the Pasuk, it tells us that after Klai Yisrael complained, that Kosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people that I want you to do Atsisa Hayosha Toiv Be'inai. I want you to do what's good in my eye. So it's a very powerful Mechilta. The Mechilta says, what is Hashem meaning over here? I want you to do what's good in my eyes. The Mechilta says that I want that when Klai Yisrael has to interact with other people, that the attitude of Klai Yisrael is Ruach HaBriyas Noichemen. That people speak highly of the Jewish people. People say nice things about the Jewish people. That's fulfillment of the mitzvah to say Vasisa Yoshua Toiv Bein Hashem in last week's parasha. Is make sure that in the business world that people have a good, what we call a good shame. People like to do business with you. You have a good reputation. You're not a cheat. You're not trying to steal people. You have a good reputation in the business. Says the Medrash. That's what I want. Vasisa Yoshua Toiv Bein Hashem is to be honest in business. That people should say, yeah, do business with this guy. He's a good guy. He's honest. He's righteous. And we know in the business world, many times Klai Yisrael gets a bad reputation. Sometimes we deserve it, and sometimes we don't deserve it. But we have a bad reputation sometimes in business that people don't want to do business with us. We cheat, we try to nickel and dime you, we try to Jew you, as they say. We're always trying to cut corners, maybe, sometimes right, maybe sometimes wrong. But the Medrash is telling us that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is that we have to be Yoshev HaTov, and we have to be, that people say, yeah, let's do business with the Jewish guy. Let's try to give him the business. He's honest, he's righteous. You don't have to worry about him. And that's really connected to the end of the parasha. At the end of the parasha, Amali comes to town, and he fights with the Jewish people. So I heard once a shmuz from my Rashi Reb Zalig Epstein, he asked, he said, what did Amalek not like about us? This was before we had any Torah mitzvahs. I understand you don't like us now that we have all these rules. Right? We think we're better than you, we can't do this, we can't work on Shabbos, and we can't do this. Fine, I hear. We had no rules when we were in the Midbar. What did we have Shabbos, we had Dinim, and we had Kibbur HaVeim. What's there not to like about us? What was Amalek's problem with us? What did we do so wrong today? So he explained what Amalek didn't like about us is because the Jewish people always had a behavior of kindness, dealing well with each other, respectfulness. That was Klal Yisrael's behavior even in the Midbar before we got the Torah. Amalek couldn't stand that we were so nice to each other, care about each other, worry about each other. That's what bothered Amalek very much. And that's why Amalek attacked us. He couldn't handle the fact that we were so, we'll call it righteous today, but it really just means we were good people. We were nice to each other, we cared for each other. Right? You look today in Klal Yisrael, there's not an organization out there that does not cover a problem in our world. It's unbelievable. Any issue that a person can have, there's an organization that covers it, that's ready there to help you. Well, again, we're not even talking about taking money. So many free gemachim and organizations and people just helping each other. And that's what Amalek couldn't stand. Amalek bothered him. You guys are so nice to each other. Obviously it makes him feel guilty. When you see people being nice, it makes you feel bad about yourself. So Amalek came and attacked the Jewish people. So Abzalik said over once, he said that he takes more pride when people tell him about his Talmidim, that they're good people and they behave proper, more than he tells them they know how to learn. what he used to say over. He takes more nachas, some would say about his Talmidim, that I met one of your Talmidim and they're such a good person. They act nicely, they're respectful. To him it meant more than saying, oh, he knows how to say Ishtekol Ter. That wasn't important. To him it was more important that they have Midas. Because that's what Amalek didn't like about us. What bothered Amalek was the fact that we act differently. And that's why it says in Parshas Kiseitze that when Klal Yisrael starts to mess around with the measurements, when we start to cheat each other, that's when Amalek comes. Because the whole godless of Klal Yisrael is the fact that we are honest with each other, and we care about each other, we're there for each other. If we're going to steal from each other, we're not going to interact properly with each other, so then Amalek is going to be able to come attack us. Our whole godless, the greatness of who we are, is that we don't act like that, is we behave proper. If we're not going to behave proper, then of course Amalek is going to come. Just to, for next week's Parsha, it says Vayishma Yisrei. So the Medrash says Mashmu Hashem Uba. So he heard Kriyas Yam from Melchama Samalek. So the Nesiva Shalom, the Slam Rebbe, has a beautiful pshat. He says, you know what the pshat is? Yisrei said to himself, listen, I'm inspired to come to join Judaism, but I'll wait till next week. Yisrei said, I can't do that because if Kriyas Yam Suf from Melchama Samalek, if Amalek heard Kriyas Yam Suf, and he still came and laid war against the Jewish people, that means that his Sairis can be lost so quickly. So if his Sairis can be lost so quickly, I can't waste any time. I got to come right now. So he learns the two pshatim and not two separate pshatim. It's Yisrael talking to himself. Yisrael saying that if Amalek was able to attack post Kriyas Yam Suf, that means whatever his stories he got from Kriyas Yam Suf fell to the wayside. I can't allow that to happen to me either. So I'm going to come right now and I'm going to join Klal Yisrael. That's his pshat in the two psuk in the two drushas in Vayishma Yisrael. Okay, we left off over here a few weeks ago in the Gemara. It's a new sugya. That's why it's a good place to pick up over here. It's a new Gemara. The Gemara starts off with the story. Ahugavre dezar glagidol beisayu. A man threw a get to his wife. Have a kaimi bechotzer. She was standing in a chotzer. We don't know whose chotzer she was standing in. She was standing in some chotzer. Ozel gita, the get went. There's two girsas in Rishonim. Is it ozel gita, the get went, or other Rishonim have it ingdar gita, the get like shook. Two different girsas in Rishonim, exactly what happened to the get. But the point is, the get goes from the chotzer, nafal bepisla. It finds its way on a piece of wood. A pisla. The get goes from being in the chatzir, it bounces, hits the floor of the chatzir, goes up, and bounces onto a piece of wood, on a pisla. So, Zakti Gemara, Amar B'Yosef Chazin, we have to measure. I have the Arba Amas al Arba Amas, if this pisla is Dalet al Dalet Amas, so Polog Yemishus Lenavshe, then it's considered its own entity, its own Rishus, its own area. The Eloi, if it's not Dalet al Dalet, Chodem Rishusi, so it's one Rishus and it's not a problem. So the Gemara seems to think that the issue over here would be whether or not this pisla is own rishos. If the pisla would be its own rishos, then the get wouldn't be chal. So the Gemara says, one second.
The pisla is inside the chatzar?
The pisla is inside the chatzar. And so the Gemara says, go measure the pisla. Depending on the size of the pisla, that's going
to
affect the halacha of the gesh.
Good.
We're going to talk about it. It's a very funny thing over here, right? If the get hit the floor of the chatzar, so that's it. The divorce. Go home. Who cares what happens after that? So we're going to have to talk about that in a second. So the Gemara asks, one second, Gemara Skin, what's the case? If this is all her chatzah, this is her backyard, and it's her pisla, who cares if it's dalar amas? So what? Let it be a million amas. It's hers. It's all hers. So you threw it into her backyard. What's the problem? So the ground that Divrei Cheskel points out, he says, one second. We had a big sugya a few weeks ago where we discussed that if you're going to be megarish a lady with chatzah, so some Rishonim hold you have to be standing in the chatzah in order for that to work. So he points out, if the pisla is its own rishos, and she's standing in her backyard, and the pisla is like her own chatzar, so shouldn't she have to be standing on the pisla? If you hold like those rishayim, then you have to be standing in the chatzar in order for chatzar to work. So let's say, for example, it's her own huge backyard. So she has her huge backyard, and then she has the pisla in her backyard. But the pisla is more than dalet al dalet. So it's like two chatzars. So she has to be standing on the pisla in order for it to work. It sounds like from the Gemara that that's not a problem. So the Divrei Cheskel wants to tie in that something like a pisla, even if it's his own rishos, that would be considered bottle to the big chatzar. And when she's standing in the chatzar, it's like she's standing on the pisla.
It's like a deck in the backyard.
Right, it would be the equivalent to that. And therefore you'd view it that you're standing on it. That's what he wants to answer. So the Gemara says, fine, it can't be her chatzar. Ela b'chatzar didei. So Elamai, we're talking about it's his chatzar. It's the husband's chatzar, and the husband gave her rishos to use his chatzar, and now there's a pisla. So, fact the Gemara, ki lo yahava arba amas mahave. So, fact the Gemara, even if it's not dalal dalal, it's his backyard. How do you make a divorce by putting the get in the husband's backyard? It's his backyard. Where's the nesina l'rishusa? So, the Gemara says, lo tzricha, what are we talking about? The ushla makam. The husband lent the wife property to use in his backyard. The husband has a big backyard, and he gave her a place to borrow real estate area. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So what's the problem? Let the pistol be a million feet big. What's the problem? So the Gemara says, because the mentality of a person is the chad mokem mushle inchi. People will lend you one spot. Two spots loy mushle inchi. People are not willing to lend you out. So therefore, you have to figure out if the pisla is dalad al dalad, so it's its own rishos. So then it's like I gave you two spots. But if the pisla is not, so then I gave you one spot. So the Gemara has this svar: trade mikarim is leimush leinshi. People won't lend out two spots.
The pisla is on the spot that he lent her.
Okay, good. That's a kasha. At least the pisla be under. Mean be the pisla, but the spot under the pisla. That's a discussion. It's more to get. Good. We're going to talk about it. Okay, we'll get to that. Now let me just read the end of the Gemara. This is talking about that the pisla is not 10 tefachim high. I'll gavoya asara, but the pisla will be 10 tefachim high. Avagav delay have arba amos, even if it's not dalad dalad. V'loy amarna delos tashem levai, if it doesn't have its own name. Avol is tashem levai, but if you have like a special name that you call this pisla because it's so big, then in that case. In that case, it would be considered a polygushus lenafsh. Okay. So that's the end of the Gemara. So what we see from this Gemara is an interesting idea. We see from this Gemara that if you have a pisla, you have a separate piece, a big board, a big rock that's in the chatzar, so it could affect the ability of being kind of kinyan chatzar. Rashi over here says, so Rashi, name of the chatzar dido, the isha, let's say it's the chatzar of the isha, ki have arba amas mahave, harish name shlo, they both belong to her. So the Rashi, the ushla makam, she borrowed property in the husband's backyard, bechatzeroi in his chatzar, liknois ba haget, to be kind of the get. So the Gemara says that she borrowed property to be kind of the get. She only borrowed one property, so you got to figure out which one she borrowed. So if the pisla is very big, so then it's its own entity. So then if it's its own entity, he didn't borrow that to her. If it's not, so then he borrowed the whole chatzar, and she can make kinyan get anywhere in the chatzar. So the Gevi Shurachim asks a rather simple question over here. He says, Tzarachin, Halei Mushal Rak Mokim Liknes Aget. It's clear from Rashi that the whole intention of this guy was to give her a place where she can get divorced. The Imoshal HaPisla, Lei Mushal HaChatzer. Right? He gave her one or the other. So let's wait to see what happens. Now that the get falls in the Pisla, so that was the place that he was giving to her. So that's the place that the get's good. Rak Echem Mehem Mokim Shunach Aget Ba. What's the Gemara's problem? Trein Mekarim Islam Mushal. You're right. He didn't give her two. He gave her whichever one will make the Chalais Gerushin. So if the get falls into the Chatzah, it's the Chatzah. If it's on the Pisla, it's the Pisla. What's the problem with the Gemara? Let's wait and see. Right? You'd have to assume some form of a brayer over here that we're going to go back and say, well, wherever it falls. So that's really the Gevi Shurachim's answer. His answer is no. How do you become a shoyel? You don't just say, I'm lending it to you. You got to make a kinyan. So what kinyan did she make? What was she kinyan? So the Gevi Shurachim says she was kinyan of the chatzar. So if she was kinyan of the chatzar, she made a nice kinyan of the chatzar, so she can't automatically get the pisla. That's all in the world of free-for-all. I'll get whichever one I want. Yesh Brera. But you have to make a kinyan. So whichever one you made the kinyan on, that's the one you get. So if you made a kinyan on the chatzah, you're stuck with the chatzah. You don't get the pisla. So you have to figure out which one you made the kinyan on. The assumption was she made the kinyan on the chatzah. Therefore, since she made the kinyan on the chatzah, she would not end up with the pisla.
Okay, so this guy's like a bad thrower. He wanted to put it in the chatzah by mistake.
So it ended up in the chatzah. It hit the floor of the chatzah, according to most, and then it bounced up and goes onto the pisla. That's what happened.
So Muslim, he didn't want the pisla.
So that's the question. We don't really know. We don't know where he wanted it. He gave her property so she can be able to be kind of the get.
He wants to accomplish something.
Right. That's the Yesh Rachim's question. He just wants the end result. He wants the end result more than anything. So he doesn't care really what happens or how it happens. He just wants to get the divorce.
No, Muslim, he's going to give her the chatzar because that's...
Right. So that's his answer. His answer is the assumption is he's going to give her the chatzar. So now if it lands on the pisla, that he never gave her.
But the pisla was there when she made the kinyan of the chatzar?
Yes, but if the pistol is its own entity, so then that wouldn't cover it.
But if he wants to accomplish it again, he doesn't care. Take both of them.
But that's the Gemara's story. The Gemara has this for Trey Mikoimus Loy Mushli Inshin. Whatever that means. So we're going to talk about it. Yeah. We need to explain what is this for Trey Mikoimus. What does this mean? Trey Mikoimus. What does this mean?
If he wants to accomplish the end result again. So he would have been careful. You know, if he's throwing it, and he would be careful not to get on the pistol if it was a problem. So by throwing it there, he's showing...
Right, the question is, what did he plan? For example, the Tiferes Eliyakiv answers that what happened over here was the husband throws the get. So he's watching the get fly. Again, obviously this guy is not exactly the best quarterback, but he's watching the get fly, and the get hits the ground. So he says, oh, great, it hits the ground, let's go with the ground. And then all of a sudden it pops up and goes onto the pisla. So says the Tiferes Eliyakiv, this guy's cheshbin, he was watching this happening, even if we'll bypass the problem of when she made a Maisa Kinyan, but what he's watching is the initial thing that he sees is it hits the ground. He says, good, ground, let it be chatzah. Then all of a sudden it pops up and goes onto the pisla. So then he has no doubts for it to go onto the pisla. So if the pisla is a separate rishos, no good. If the pisla is its own rishos, then it is good.
Yeah, but if hits the ground.
That's the big kasha.
So she's made the
very good,
on,
very
so
good.
What's the difference where it goes?
That's a very good kasha. The kasha that Davni Maluam asks is the whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. What's the problem? The get hits the ground, the game's over.
Yeah, but it's a 3-second rule.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, once you cross the end zone, it's over, right? So we're going to see. So Davni Maluam has a piece based on a Rajba, how he explains that you have to have a hanocha that could last. If I throw something in a way, for example, if a lady's holding her hand in a funny way, that it's the Gemara later on, she's holding it away that it can't really stay very long in her hand. And you put the get into her hand like this. So even though for a few seconds it lasts, that's not called a mice in the scene, because you put it in a way that it can't really be long lasting. So when you threw it in a way that it bounces up, so even though again the ground technically could hold it, but I guess the way you threw it was in a way that it can't hold the ground. So even though for a few seconds it hit the ground, that's not considered a mice in the scene. We're going to see a little later the Avni Milum quotes that from the Rashi.
She has to have both feet
in the ground. Yeah, that's right. You got to have everything for as long as the referee sees it. Okay. Rashi is pretty meduyik. That Rashi learned that the case over here is the Ushla Makam Zak Rashi, Bechatseiroi Liknois Babaget. The Achraidim Amadaik from Rashi of Salvechik and others, that Rashi assumes that the case over here is an interesting case. When you have a She'ela in the field, you could have two ways of it happening. The husband says, listen, I'm lending you this corner of the field, you can do whatever you want with it. You can store property, put boxes there, you can grow field, whatever you want, it's yours. I'm lending it to you. Rashi sounds not like that. Rashi sounds that the whole She'ela was for one purpose, just to make a kinyan. I'm not letting you store things there. I'm not letting you work there. I'm not even letting you walk there. The whole she'ela was only liknas bahaget. That was the whole she'ela.
So then if it lands on the pisla, then obviously it didn't matter to it. In other words, for purposes of the she'ela,
good.
It was
okay, good, good. That's what I want to get to in a second. So the Ritva in the Chdushe Mechtav Yad, which I can't get on my Yitzhak Chachma, so it's not on the page, he has a different pshat in the Gemara. He learns the She'ela wasn't just to be kind of things. The She'ela was, stam hazeh, I'm lending you a corner of my field. You can put things there. You can do whatever you want with it. Why does he not learn like Rashi? Why? What does he not like about Rashi's pshat? So Salvechik says it later on in the piece, that according to Rashi, it's very strange. If all the husband's giving her is a place to be kind of get, why does he care how many places he gives her? One place, two place, three place, what do you care? All she needs is a dollar spot to drop a get. What type of sorrow is this? Trey mekermes le mushlin she. I'm not willing to give you two spots. Bishlom, according to the Ritva, I understand. I'm giving you places to store boxes. I'm not giving you my whole field to store your boxes. I'll give you one spot. Two spots I'm not giving you. But according to Rashi, the whole Gemara is not talking about I'm giving you hushtamshes. I'm just giving you the rights to be kind of get. So what type of sorrow is it? Trey mekermes le mushlin. I'm not giving you two spots. Why on earth not? What does it affect you? It doesn't bother you. It doesn't stir your life. So the Gemara is much harder to understand according to Rashi.
Maybe Rashi only means that that's his motivation.
Could be.
He wanted to give it to her in order for her to be able to be Kona to get. And therefore he lent her the place. But when he lent it like you normally would.
Could be. Again, I'm not so sure how much you want him to dike in that rhyme. It's, you know, look, if you look at number two, Rashi says, the Ushla Makam Bechatseiroi Liknois Bahaget. He lent her a place in the Chatzar to be kind of the get. So Salvechi thinks that Rashi's telling you that that was the whole thing, and not to use it. One could argue on the Diyuk, but it is interesting that Rashi points out these extra words, liknos bahaget. So if you look at number four, Salvechi makes this Diyuk. He says, umudvarav nira, shahabal loy hishilo es hachatzer. The husband never lent her the spot, elo lekinyan v'loy leshtamshes, just for the sole purpose of making kinyanim and not for usage. If she would come and start sitting on the field and working in the field, he'd throw her out. She did not borrow it for that purpose. Again, is that muchach in Rashi? I'm not sure. I see the deal because Rashi does add these words, liknos bahaget. Why does Rashi have to add those words?
Why does he say lekinyan for any kinyan and not just a kinyan aget?
No, he means over here he means for the kinyan aget. Now, again, I guess it's meduyik from Rashi because Rahashi throws those words in bechatzera liknos bahaget.
Not sure. Conditional giving.
Very good. So that's going to be part of Salvechik's problem over here, is that he thinks this is hard to believe. You know, so he asks, so Salvechik points out over here, number four, he says, the Yesh b'zeh chiddush. According to this Rashi, it comes out a novel idea, that what? She'chotzer koyne afim hu konri lelekech rak kadeh liknes bo. Salvechik thinks that if I give you something, not to use, I give you something just to be able to create kinyonim with. So that's a weaker type of bailus, or I call it a different type of bailus. That type of bailus, mehecha teisa, that even works. So he says that's the chiddush over here according to Rashi. The chiddush of Rashi is that you can have something just for the sole purpose of making kinyan. Then he says the chimuchach mimashkas v'agimar dechad mukay mushla inshi trim kaz namash inshi shadem mistava is imashayil esachotz rak lekinyan shalze sagi bechad mokim sheshishil esachotz shtamish vitzrich shtamish v'nukarmis pshita sheshishil shneim. He goes the other way, Salvechik. He thinks that if I'm giving it to you for usage, I'll give you both places.
Right.
He goes the other svar that I mentioned earlier. But let's try to digest this for a second. According to Salvechik, he thinks it's a chiddush. If I lend you something, just for the sole purpose of having power of kinyanim, that's a chiz that you can have the power of kinyanim. Why? Because he understands that the assumption of ownership is tali in usage. The way we normally understand usage, ownership is usage. I am a owner because I have powers in this. One of my powers is the fact, the ability that I can use it. So if I lend you something, I say you can use it. So then you can use it. That's a haraz bailus that shows you're somewhat of an owner. And along with that, you have the power to, let's say, create kinyonim. If Salvechik feels that if all you have is the power to create kinyonim and no other usage in the field, that's what we call a weakness in your bailus. I don't understand exactly why.
Limited use.
Right, I would have said the other way around. I would have said hishtamshus is just a form of ownership. Meaning hishtamshus is not what makes you the owner. Being the owner is when I lend you something that becomes yours. It's just the way it plays out is one of the ways it plays out, the fact that you can use it. The fact that you can't use it doesn't mean that you're not the owner. It just means that that's the way we stipulated in the contract and you only have power of kinyanim. I think you could take from the owner whatever the owner is willing to give to you. If the owner is willing to give you power of kinyan, so you'll take power of kinyan. If he's willing to give you usage, you have usage. So I don't understand why if Salvation feels that this is a bigger chiddush to say that you only have rights for kinyan and alpha pikin.
The whole thing of chazaka is that you're showing your stamshes.
You right, right.
If you don't do anything for 3 years, that's no chazaka.
That's correct. That's because that's a right. Again, I understand that when a person uses something, he shows ownership. I agree with. But the fact that if you don't, that doesn't mean you're not the owner. There's other ways of being the owner. The fact that you can make kinyanim is an owner like activity. I can't make kinyanim in your backyard, so the answer
is you're not an owner. You're a borrower.
To the extent that you become an owner, meaning if Salvation thinks that if you'd be borrowing it completely, then of course you can use it for kinyanim. But now that you're only borrowing it for the purpose of kinyanim, mechatesi. You can make it as, or it's a chiddush. He says. He calls it a chiddush. I'm trying to.
Because it's not our typical form of ownership.
Right. That's what I'm trying to understand.
You have such limited use, and yet, nevertheless, we're allowing you to make a kiddush.
Right. Right. And I understand that when you don't have usage, you're less. You have less power, but I'm not so sure if your bailus element is necessarily weakened. Your bailus is whatever the owner gave me. I have whatever ownership he gives me.
In the same field for 3 years, and it right. originally came from a borrowing. That's no kidding.
100%. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that hishtamshus definitely means more bailus. But I'm just wondering, in the ability to make kinyanim, when you have the power to make kinyanim, what do you need to do that?
Otherwise, bailus is just a word. It doesn't mean anything. Call it bailus. Call it shmilus. It doesn't. If you can't do anything with it, what is it? It's just a word that you.
No, you have the right. You have the power to make kinyanim.
So who's so that's the chiddush? Who's to say that yeah. that's a type of bailus? That means bailus. Normally, we associate bailus with the whole stream of rights.
I agree.
Not just one.
I agree.
Little unique right.
If you assume like of Salvechik, so then you could say that's a geshmaka machloikis b'shainim. That's the machloikis between Rashi and the Ritva. We mentioned earlier that the Ritva didn't learn like Rashi. That's about kinyanim. The Ritva learned that you have full usage. Why did the Ritva not learn like Rashi? So according to Salvechik, it's beautiful. Because the Ritva held you can't do that. If I just give you rights to be kaina, you can't be kaina. So that's why the Ritva had to learn, I gave you a full-blown shayla. Use it for whatever you want. And included in that is also kinyan. Rashi, on the other hand, discreet. Rashi said no. Rashi held that if I'm giving it to you just for the purpose of a kinyan, you can also use it for a kinyan.
So according to the Ritva, is it just... Just for kinyanim or for any limited use. So, for example, if I have a driveway and I don't have a car,
right.
My neighbor has a car, but he doesn't have a driveway. So I want to let him use my driveway to put his car there.
Right.
It doesn't mean he can rip it up and plant a garden. It doesn't mean he can build a house on it. He can only put his car there. So he has limited use.
Right, but there you
borrow that driveway.
Right, there you at least stipulated what the usage is.
So I stipulate that you can accept. If something comes into that property that someone intended to make a kinyan with you, then that'll be for that purpose and no other purpose. I'm not understanding right, why it would be any different than any other kind of limited use.
Right, so
I can let you live in this house, right. But I can't let you run a business out of it.
Right, I think if Salvechik's point was that he felt that if you understand that I gave you your whole relationship with this area is just to make a kinyan,
right.
That's not enough to be able to make a kinyan. I mean, you have to have more of a power in the... Yeah, I'm with you. I think whatever power I give you is the power you have. But I think the way we're saying it now, it might be a Mechalikas Rishonim. It might goofer be the Mechalikas between Rashi and the Ritva. This is sort of Salvechik. And whether or not you have the ability to just have Kinyonim, is that's enough to make Kinyonim. Okay. But there's a bigger problem here in the Sugya. There's a Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in the beginning of Simen Kuf Lametas, he makes the following deal from this Gemara. He says, you see from this Gemara, that you don't always have to own something to make kinyanim. The ish doesn't own the chatzar. Ish doesn't own anything. She's a borrower. So you see from this gemara that for kinyan chatzar, you don't have to own the chatzar. You have to have usage. Again, machlokes rishonim, how much? Rashi will tell you kinyan power, Ritva will tell you usage, but you have to have something. Yeah.
Does the Baal have the right to make a kinyan on that piece of property?
So that's what we got to get to right now. The problem over here, this is a sticky situation because we have the isha and the Baal both connected to this. I mean, there's two ways a lady can borrow property. She could borrow from a third party, where the husband has no involvement whatsoever, or she's borrowing from the husband. So it means when the husband puts the get in her borrowed area, he's in essence putting it in his backyard. Now, it's not really his backyard, because for legal purposes, it now became her backyard, but it's somewhat his backyard. That's the problem over here. So if you look in the Rambam, in number 4b, the Rambam in Hilchos in Gerushin writes like this. Get to that right now. We're going to deal with that right now. That's the big issue today. The Rambam writes like this in 4b. Zeh shenema b'toyre v'nasam b'yodo. This pasuk that we talked a lot about in this parak, it says in the Torah, v'nasam b'yodo, put it in her hand. Ein inyan hakosav elo sheyagi haget lo. The Torah doesn't really mean put it in her hand. The Torah means give the get to her. The echod yodo, either you put it into her hand, oicheka, 4b, it's on the left side. It was a late addition. Oicheka, or to her purse, oichatseira, or to her chatzer, or shlucha, or to her shliach, she'osiso yodo ki yodo, because the shliach's hand becomes her hand. Hakol echadu, it's all the same idea. Ve'echad chatzeira haknuyla, says the Rambam, whether she actually owns the chatzer, oichatseira hamuskeres, or she rents the chatzer, oishu'ulala, or she borrowed a chatzer, hakol rishusoy hu. It's all her rishus. U'mishiyagia get the rishusoy, and once again it hits her property, niskarsha, she's divorced. So this Rambam, the Beis Yosef points out, is based on this Gemara. You see from this Gemara that the Isha doesn't own the chatzer. Till now we've been talking about the chatzer of the Isha. She owns the chatzer, good, so it's her chatzer. Now we're being exposed to a new idea that you don't have to own it, and it's enough to be yours for kinyan chatzer. So the Rambam writes two things. He writes either she'ula, or Sechura. Either you rented it or you borrowed it. So the Beis Yosef points out, Pashat, that the Rambam got this from Agumar. From Agumar, you see the Ushla Makan that she borrowed property. So you see, you don't see necessarily which way he goes. The Gemara says she borrowed. We don't know exactly what she borrowed. Did she borrow usage of property, or did she just borrow it for the sake of Kenyan? But she borrowed it. You see from over here that you can be a borrower and still have Kenyan Chatz.
But maybe the Rambam is talking about a third party. Not
very good. The Rambam here is clearly talking about a third party, right?
Who says Rambam went for Kenyan Chatz? Who says Rambam went for the woman's corner again? Maybe it's like the that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Grad that there is
a dress.
Good. We're going to talk about it. The Stam is a Har in the Gemara. One could have learned the Gemara that it's Kenyan Agav. Right? You could have learned the Gemara that the whole Gemara is not Kenyan Chatzar. It could be it's Kenyan Agav. Now what happened is that she makes a Kenyan on the Chatzar. She's claiming the Chatzar and Agav, she gets the get.
I'll go back there.
That's why I didn't. Reb Steinman points this out, that one could have learned the Gemara in theory that it's not doing Kenyan Chatzar at all. Where's the Kenyan Chatzar over here? Yes, she made a Maisa Kenyan on the Chatzar. She's claiming the Chatzar, and Agav, she gets the get.
And why is the Rambam emphasized by Shaliach that Shasa Yado Ki Yado?
Yeah, very
good. Is that going on everything, or just
yeah,
on Shaliach?
Yeah, Salvechik had a piece on this. I think we mentioned it a few months ago. I must admit, I don't remember. But Salvechik had a piece where he was bothered with this line over in the Rambam, that the Rambam lumped Shlichus together in the same category as Chatzar. So the Chari, it sounds like he held that Shlichus works with the Chatzar works with Tam Shlichus. But Salvechik had a nice piece on that one line in Rambam that you just pointed out.
If it had to do with Aga, what would the whole Shlachlo and Kari have to do with Pislo and
Aga? Yeah.
No, I'm saying, yeah, how do you even come up with Aga? If the whole, you see, it has to do with Chatzar, because they're talking about what Chatzar is. Otherwise, Aga, whatever property he gave
right,
for,
that's correct.
He gave for the get. So
yeah. It doesn't really fit. Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't see how Aga works into this.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so far everything seems fine. The Rambam's right based on the Gemara. The problem is it's a steer in Rambam. There's a Rambam in the beginning of in the Hilchos Chiras number 5. The Rambam writes like this. This Rambam we had already. We dealt with this Rambam heavily, so we're not going to get too bogged down with it. But the Rambam reads like this: Hazevel shel bechatzer, fertilizer that's in a chatzer, harehu shel seicha. It belongs to the renter. The ficha chum etabalba lahitzia. He has to take care of the cleaning of it, the removal of it. As if the Seicher's animals created the Zevel. The Seicher's animals walked in the backyard. Again, you have a Seicher in Damascus. Guy's renting property. And he's renting property, he brings his animals there. And his animals leave Zevel, fertilizer. So that belongs to the Seicher. But let's say it's other animals, not the Seicher's animals. Then the Zevel, all fertilizer, belongs to the owner of the Chatzar. Why? Because the owner, the Chatzar of a person is kind to the Maskir. So this is the famous Shita of Rambam. The Rambam holds, if you have a Maskir and a Seicher, a renter and a rentee, so who has Kinyan Chatzar? So the Rambam seems to be very clear that it goes to the Maskir. The Ravid argues, the Ravid says it goes to the Seicher. The problem is, according to the Rambam said earlier, that if you throw the get into her Chatzar and she's a Muskeres, she's a renter, So she's kaina. Why is she kaina? If you throw something into a chatzar of a renter, it goes to the masker. So you made a nesinas haget to the masker. So now the masker is divorced. Beautiful.
Yeah, but maybe because there's nothing, the get doesn't have any value except to the woman. So, okay, I suppose the klaf.
You're right, but the question is still, how do we make it?
She can't be kona something, the owner of the chatzar can't be kona something.
True, but she also can't be kona because it wasn't given, she doesn't have the rights.
Ah,
good, good. Okay, good. Okay, good, good. That's what we're going to see in a second. That's a teretz.
We hold on for a minog.
So yeah, that's... yeah, but I don't know if I'd call that a minog. The minog was more of who deals with snow removal, or in their days, zevel removal.
Yeah, but, see, yeah. But by the zevel, that's the owner has an interest in that.
Good.
He wants it.
Good, good.
But here, he's miayish on that anyway.
So
right?
That's the base mayor. Now, well, that's the base mayor's answer. Now, again, right off the bat, this Rambam is not necessarily a stira, because one Rambam is talking about where the husband is not the masker. Right? We're talking about a regular case where the husband's not the masker. Don't try to tell me, oh, the difference is when the husband's the masker. Again, this Rambam sounds like it doesn't matter. So the base mayor gives a answer that many of you are suggesting. The base mayor says the kasha doesn't get off the ground. He says there's a shach. The shach says the only time that the things go to the masker, that's if it's something like hefker. Something like hefker, so it's 50-50. There's no more reason they should go to either one. So then the Rambam holds the masker has overpowers the seich. But if you have something that is X marked for the seicher, and the masker has absolutely no interest in it, or we can even add in this case, the masker himself is the one giving it. He's the one who wants her to have it. He wants her to have the get. He's the masker. So he relinquishes all his power in kinyachatzis, and it goes straight to her, no problems. That's how the base mayor answers for this theory in the Rambam. The Ktsois has a more of a creative answer. If you look at the Ktsois in number 6, the Ktsois says like this. He says, Ulchein yir d'hochashani. The Ktsois doesn't like the base mayor. According to the base mayor, if a hefker object rolls into the chatzar, it goes straight to the masker. The only time it goes to the seicher is if it's clearly that the masker has no interest in it, clearly something X marks for the seicher, then it goes to the seicher. The Ktsois says no. Even in an aveda that would roll into the chatzar, says the Ktsois, that would also go to the seicher. So what does the Rambam mean? Says the Ktsois, the Rambam was only talking about zevel. Specifically zevel. Only fertilizer. When this guy rents out his house and he knows the guy's going to bring in animals, he says to himself, you know what? That one bilus that I want to keep to myself is the fact that I get all the rights to zevel. But anything else is all yours. That's how the Ktsois learned the Rambam. Very interesting pshat. The Ktsois learned that the Rambam was Mishayer Davke Zevel. That one thing. Not a Veda, not a Mitziah, not money that rolls in that, and he gives to the Seich. The one thing he retains ownership on is any Zevel that's found in the Chatz. So that's why the Rambam's talking about specifically Zevel. Right. So therefore it's Meduik in the Rambam. The Rambam is specifically speaking about Zevel. Zok the Ktsois, I'll bring you a Raya. From the Rambam we started off with earlier. The Rambam says very clearly that an Isha has Kinyan Sach, Isha can be the Seicher and be kind of the Get. According to the Rambam, Kinyan Chatzar always goes to the Masker. Says the Ktsois. According to me, it's not a Kasha. Because according to me, Kinyan Chatzar usually goes to the Seicher. 9 out of 10 times it is the Seicher, even according to the Rambam. So when the Rambam meant over here in Hilchos Chivus, it was specifically the case of Zevel. Zevel is the unique case where the husband decides he wants to retain ownership on the Zevel. Now again, according to the Ktsois, it could be anything that the husband decides he wants to retain ownership on. He decides, I want to retain ownership for this or for that. He could say, I want to retain ownership for all our Vedas that come in. He could do that. According to the Ktsois, he only does that by Zevel. Why exactly? I'm not sure.
It's the most, and it benefits, and
it's also easiest for him. He doesn't have to do too much. It falls there naturally, and that's why the Ktsois. So it comes out a big nafkamina between the base mayor and the Ktsois.
But this was the whole. This Rambam was the soul.
The whole source, exactly. This Rambam was the whole source that everyone tumbles. That you see that the Rambam holds Kinyan Chatzah goes to the mosque. It's not true, right? Remember we spoke about this a couple times. We had a Shaila Halacha Maisa once, where a guy found a bracelet in an apartment he was renting for Rockaway. He was a Frum guy, and the person before him was Frum, and he found a $1,000 bracelet in the back of a drawer somewhere. So the question, who gets it? So let's assume it's Kinyan Chatzar. Who gets the Kinyan Chatzar? The masker or the seicher? So people say, what do you mean? The Rambam holds Kinyan Chatzar goes to the masker. It's not true. According to the Ktsois, that's not what the Rambam says. A whole different Rambam. According to the Ktsois, what? That's the second question. You have to figure out which renter is going to go to. You have to figure out who it goes to. But the first question is, does it go to the masker or does it go to the seicher? So if you learn the Rambam, the way most Achrenim learn the Rambam, according to the Rambam, it always goes to the masker. But according to the Ktsois, it's not true. According to the Tzitzis, it's only Zevel that goes, right? It's only Zevel goes, nothing else goes. Unless you start telling me that every single generation we have to start dining up, you know, in a field, it's Zevel. In an apartment, that's jewelry, I don't know, it's hard to know. But according to the Beis Meir, and the way most Achronim, it's not true. According to the Beis Meir, the answer is, even according to the Rambam, Kinyachatz always goes to the Masker, unless it's something where the Das Acheris is sending it to the Seicher, then it would go to the Seicher.
At worst, you should say he gets to rent the bracelet for the time period that he's renting the apartment, but nobody has in mind to relinquish such a value.
Yeah, I don't think so. I forgot what I told the guy at the end to do. It was complicated, because...
I mean, if I'm renting the apartment for $500 and it turns out to find $1,000,
yeah.
It's a pretty bad business deal.
So the problem was over there, you have Yish problems. You have Yish problems, and you have a surah. You have problems of a surah asliyada. The question is, when was the owner miyayish versus when did it come into the chatzar? It gets a little tricky. It's quite complicated.
And he may not even know he lost it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
pretty sure. Why isn't it a Hashavas Aveda situation? See the prior.
What?
So that's what we tried doing, right? We tried.
We found a bracelet described.
Right, so we tried going back to some of the older renters. It didn't work. I forgot what happened. We couldn't find them. There was no information about them. We tried that. That was the easiest state, so we don't have to deal with any Shilas. We'll just return it to the previous owner.
And these were other renters. So,
right.
But the issue is whether.
The issue is the masker.
Who's the masker?
It was also another. It was a from guy. He owned the house. He was renting it out to people. He doesn't, right. You know. So the question is, at some point, we switched seichrim, right? It switched over from that guy to this guy. Right. So the question was, if there was a yish in between, it got very complicated. But it's very negeah. If you hold that, it goes to the masker versus it goes to the seichrim. That's the Shita's Haran. Rav Salavechik and Shuri Arav also has an interesting idea over here, where he basically knocks off this whole problem that we have. He says like this. Number 7 in the bottom right corner, he writes like this: "V'hinei harishayim nechelku b'metzias shnof lechatzam uskeres." There's a big machoikis rishayim, which we spoke about here many times. If you have a rented chatzar, who gets the aveda? Rented chatzar and aveda falls in who does it go to? So Rashi and the Ravid. He writes over the Ravid holds it goes to the soicher. The Harambam savish hamaske zochabo. So we asked if that's the shita. The Rambam seems to be a steer to our sugya. So we answered the Beis Meir of the Ktzos. If Salvechik thinks it's b'chulam not a kasha. Why? He says, "V'nire shemachloikis zuhi rak b'chatzah muskeres l'tashmish." Says Reb Salavechik, you know when there's a machloikis b'shainim, that's if I rent a chatzah for usage, or I borrow it for usage, and then an aveda falls in. So then there's a machloikis b'shainim, who gets it? Avo b'muskeres l'kinyin b'vadei kain ha'secher. Says Reb Salavechik, but if the situation would be that the whole rental was just for purposes of kinyanim, like the way he learned our Rashi, then it's pashut, it goes to the Seicher. Because that's what the purpose of the rental was for. So according to Salvation, the Gantz Kasha never gets off the ground. If the Rambam would learn like Rashi, which I don't have a hechacha that he does, if the Rambam were to learn like Rashi in our Gemara, that the whole borrowing in our Gemara was not to use the property, but it was just for the sole purpose of Rashi's version of being made kinyonim, then according to Salvation, it's not a steer in the Rambam. To be kind of get, we'll call it.
Yeah, so
I would understand if Salvechik is saying that when you have the ability to make kinyonim, mali this, mali that, right, you have the power to make kinyonim. So if the Rambam meant like Rashi, now again, I don't have too much of a hechacha from the way the Rambam writes it, but if...
This
would answer the steel in the Rambam. If the Rambam were to learn like Rashi and not like the Ritva, that the Rambam would learn that the whole borrowing was just for the sole purpose of Kinyonim, according to Salvechik, in that case, even the Rambam himself would agree it goes to the Seicher and it wouldn't be a steer in Rambam. However, if the Rambam were to hold like the Ritva, that you borrowed it for usage purposes and then you want to use Kinyon purposes, then we have a steer in Rambam. Then we'd have to come out to the Ktzos in the Beis Meir.
Does anyone make a chilek between Schiris and Shila?
No, that's a good point. I was thinking about this last night. You know, by the time I finished the whole shir, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, wait, just 1 second. We keep on talking about Schira and Shela. Are they the same thing? So the assumption in the Achreinim is there. They lump the two together. Even though we know, for example, Schiris, we spoke a lot about here, that the Gemara says Schiris is Mechira L'Yoymi. The Gemara has this terminology in Avodah Zarah. That when you rent something, you're an owner for the day. So Shela is also an owner. Right, Shela we know for sure. So the Achreinim lump the two together. They assume Schiris and Shela is the same. I was thinking this last night also. Maybe there is room to disagree. But if you understand that Schiris is a Mechira L'Yoymi, that's the Lashon the Gemara uses. It's a Machoikis V'Shainim when we use it. Do we use it L'Chala Tarikula, only by Oino, Taisvis and Avodah Zarah, it's the Geit Avodah Zarah. It's again a bunch of places we spoke about here. It's Negeit to a lot of things. I think it could be Negeit to Tvilas Kela, maybe. I think it should be negated to a few Seicher things. But in any case, the Achreinim assume they go together. So here's very totally. If you learn the Rambam, like Rashi, then Rav Salavechik's answer works. Just in the Cheshbonos that Rav Salavechik makes, I'm not sure. He assumes that if the pshat is that I was soicher to you for the purpose of kinyan, then you also get aveda. Mehechetes. Again, just because I gave you the rights to be kinyan things doesn't mean I want to give you aveda. Going back to the Tzoyis' lumnus that I retain any ownership that I want. So just because I told you you can be kinyan things that your friend wants to give to you doesn't mean I want to give you aveda. Meaning, let's say I say to you, you can use this chatzah to be kinyan your paycheck. You can use this chatzah to be kinyan bills. That means I'm giving you the chatzah to be kinyan avedas also?
For example, you can reserve the right.
Right, so according to the Tzoyis, I would have argued. I would have said, according to the Tzoyis, I don't understand your Salvechik's point. I would have said, maybe not. Well, maybe I could pick and choose what I'm giving you.
Maybe you could, but you didn't. Here you're saying, we had two ways of looking at it. With three ways. One is that you gave it to him altogether. But if within the world that you're giving it for specifically for this thing, is it specifically to be Kona the get, and that's all I'm giving it to you? Or to be Kona things? So if you're saying to be Kona things, and you don't limit it, then it would be an Aveda, because that you've been Kona the Aveda.
Right, that's your salvation's assumption. He assumes that once I give you the power to be used as, if I'm giving you the power to use of Kinyonim, you automatically have power for Kinyonim. The Tzad in the Rambam to say that it goes to the masker is only because I never really gave you that power. I gave you usage. Now the question then is, does usage equal power for Kinyon? So according to that, it's a very lomdish shaila. According to the way of Salvechik understood the Rambam, it's a very lomdish piece. If I give you usage rights, does that automatically mean I give you rights for Kinyonim? Usage and Kinyonim are two very different things. Right? Your Salvechik feels that if I give you Kinyon, that's what I gave you. So it's very gishmak if you learn like that in the Rambam, so then it's not a stira in the Rambam.
Why can't there be a third scenario where you have the right to Kinyonim? So it's not just get, it's any Kinyon.
Right.
But it doesn't include an Aveda or something that was intended for the Maskir. It's anything that was intended. So, like, if I let you borrow my mailbox, right? So you can be Kona whatever comes addressed to you.
Correct.
But whatever comes addressed to me, or is otherwise put in there, no reason for.
Yeah, I would suggest if in Rav Salvechik's pshat with the Ktzoyis, that would come out. If you took Rav Salvechik and the Ktzoyis and put them together, you'd have this third possibility that the soicher could be Kona those things that are the makne, the masker allows him to be Kona, and other things not. I think if you put the two pshat together, that's what would come out. I'm okay with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. If you combine the two pshat, let's see one more Rambam for the day. For you haven't seen enough Rambams, okay? So brisker shir today. Okay. Let's see one more Rambam. The Rambam writes like this in number 8. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Gerushin Ar Gemara. The Rambam says like this: Hishalo habal makam bechatzere. If the husband lent her a place in his chatzer, v'lo yachtala, and he never specified where it is. Again, that line in Rambam is not meduyik. If he learned like Rashi or like the Ritva, he just said Hishalo habal makam bechatzere. He didn't say for what purpose. He didn't say Hishalo liknois or Hishalo lehishtamshus. So that leaves us a little unclear. V'zarek la get, and he throws her the get. V'yagil abaama shalo. And it reaches within her forama, she haimedis behen. She's standing in the chatzar, he throws the get, and the get hits somewhere within her dalaramas, of where she's standing. Zakhtar Rambam, I raise him with gereshes, so then she's divorced. The skalgal, what happens if the get then rolls? The nafal agabe kuyra falls on a beam, agabe sela, rochik mimena, it falls on a beam, again, the same svar, it hits the ground, it bounces and flies. Zakhtar Rambam depends. Im hamok mishanafal alav, im barba, salabamas, if the place that the get fell after hitting the chutzar is not dalal al dalid, the ain't a gavaya sarav, ain't no shem levaya, harez the loy, cholak rishus laatzmai, it doesn't become its own independent rishus, uki ilu hu vihi bamakamecha. And you look at it as if she and the get are in one place. But let's say this pisla has one of those three requirements that it's more than dalit, more than yud. Then cholak mishus la'atzmai, it becomes its own independent entity. Umakim echad hishala, shnei mekaymus la'hishala. He only gave her once, but not two spots. Ve'enu megureshes, she won't be divorced. That she get liyada. Very interesting Rambam. The Rambam adds a little bit more than the Gemara talks about. The Rambam starts talking about throwing it within her dalarams. What does that have to do with her dalaramas? The Gemara never talked about her dalaramas. The Gemara said, you throw it to her. If it hits the pisla is less than dalit, so it's one big rishos. The pisla is bigger than dalit, two rishos. Who cares where she's standing? What matter? What difference does it make?
Now makes more sense to swear the one spot and two spots, because she's physically there. Yeah. So that's the one spot, she's there.
Okay,
so
good.
The ground comes to her dalaramas.
Was she in the part of the chutzner that was designated to her?
Oh, okay, this is where I got to get to. Good, good.
Because the Rambam, when he says Mako, he doesn't say, he says, I will allow you that 8 spot. Depending on where you are. You know,
or where it lands. Okay, good. Let's deal with this Rambam. So the Ran over here, number 9, the Ran makes the obvious ha'ara in the Rambam. He writes like this, Nira, Tainu Davka Kukoyin Shazah, Pisa Hurachim Arab Amasa. The Ran makes the dig from the Rambam that the whole problem in our Gemara is because the pistol is outside her Dalaramas. Then, because the pistol is outside of the Aramis, now we have problems.
So, Gemara, is she there or she's not there? Original
no, she's standing in the chutzah, the Gemara says, right?
The original Gemara.
Have a kind of a chutzah. The Gemara says she's standing in the chutzah. Right, now the Gemara doesn't say we're in proximity to her, does the get fall? That the Rambam added. The Rambam added that the get fell within certain proximity to where she is. That the Gemara never says. So the Rambam died from the Rambam, an unbelievable halacha. That the Rambam learned the Gemara, that the only time pistla is a problem, even if it's a massive pistla, is if the pistla would be more than Dalar Amas out from her. But let's say, for example, she's standing here, and the pistla is within her Dalar Amas. The pistla is huge. It's a massive building. That's okay. Even though it's Cholok Rishus L'Atzmai, even though this pistla is a huge, massive building, it's clearly its own entity, still the get would be Chal. That's the Ran's deal. Because it's within her Dalar Amas. So the Ran says, very nice, he says, why? Sucked around because that's all one makim. Even though, again, halachically speaking, this pistol is a rishus b'fnei atzma, and the get is now standing in its own independent area and trei mekaymus le'mushli inshi. Nonetheless, sucked around, it's okay because it's all in her dalaramas.
If she's in rishus harabim and it falls within her dalaramas,
yes, that would also work.
That's what do you need the example of chutzah for?
Because over here it's going to get more complicated. Because over here,
it jumps into the
right. So Zokter Ran, the Tzarachim, and Ayin Loza, Frekter Ran. How did the Rambam know this? Who told the Rambam this? The Rambam came out with a halachic conclusion based on the Gemara that the pistol is only a problem if it's outside her dalarams. Well, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara never once mentions anything about dalarams. So the answer that the Ram gives is it's chad mokimu. It's one place. Well, what does that mean? What's the explanation? So if you look on the next page, the Magen Mishnah. It's always hard to photocopy Magen Mishnahs because the Magen Mishnah is such a small print. Yeah. If I make it any bigger, it will take up the whole page. If I make it any smaller, you won't be able to read it. So you're going to have to just bear with me with the Magen Mishnah over here. The Magen Mishnah is bothered with this Rambam. So the Magen Mishnah suggests two possible pshatim over here. He wants to tie it like this. According to the Magen Mishnah's first pshat, the case is like this. That the get comes in, hits the ground, and then it jumps out and rolls post that, which is the way we read the Gemara. So then according to that, that if she's standing next to it, so then the pistol is the new rishos, and she's standing next to the new rishos. The halacha is you always have to be standing next to your chatzar. So if it's within her dalaram, so then she's standing next to the chatzar. If the pistol is a rishos lefnei atzmai, and she's standing within the dalaram of the pistol, so she's standing next to her chatzar. In order for kinyan chatzar to work, you always have to be a medes mitzida. You have to be standing next to the chatzar. So if the pistol is within her dalaram, so she's standing next to the pistol, so it's a good get. Mashenkin, if the pistol would be outside her dalaram, so she's too far away from the chatzar. She's too far away from a chatzah. You can't be kain. Can you chatzah? That's how the Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam.
The question was that the pistol is not part of what he gave her. So what's the difference if she's standing next to the pistol?
No, because then the pistol becomes the one rishus he gave her, and she's standing next to the one rishus. We were troubled. Why does it matter where she's standing in relation to the pistol? The answer is because she needs to be close enough to the pistol in order for the pistol to be her chatzah. She's too far away from the pistol. Even if it's her property, you have to be standing aimedes next to your property for kinyan chatzah.
Yeah,
that's how he understood aimedes. That's the Gemara.
The Rambam holds that.
That's the Rambam's chiddush. Well, it comes up more in the Gemara. Yeah, Nechrami, right?
I mean, what happens if she has a chutzah in California?
Nechrami, it won't work. That's the whole Gemara. You have to be a medes b'tzad, right? Right, then we learned in the Gemara. Either Mishta Meris or you have to be mitzido. You have to be standing next to it. That was the Gemara's chiddush by chutzah. You have to be standing next to the chutzah.
The fact that it originally bounced.
Oh, frek the Beis Shmuel, I don't get the whole Gemara. The get hit the ground. Finished, over, done. Yeah, gets over. So that's the Avni Melum's answer. So if you look at Avni Melum, says that that's not sufficient. Says the Avdim Meluim, the fact that the get hits the ground and then goes flying, that's not going to help. Because since you need to have a mokim, which is really munach, since this get wasn't really munach with the bounce, so therefore the get wasn't chal with the bounce, so the get bounces and then falls. Right.
It's like a football
exactly,
game.
Right.
But why do we even bother with that? Why don't you say through it and I ended up in the pistol?
Because that's how the Rambam learns the case of the Gemara. The Rambam learns the case of the Gemara that it rolled, that it bounced on the ground, then it goes onto the pistol. So then if the pistol is going to be its own rishus, then you have to be standing next to the pistol in order for it to be chal.
You landed straight in the pistol without hitting the
same. Right.
Don't need
them. Right. He's just going on the case of the Gemara.
Why did Gemara
pick this case? To maybe teach us his Chiddush.
And what happens if it bounces outside and then hits the pistol and it lands there? That knows.
Where does it go?
You know, it bounces in the yard, but then it lands on the pistol. That's how come more.
That's the case of the Gemara. Right, that's the case of the Gemara, depending how big the pistol is. But the Marit al Ghazi.
The Gemara that we once said that if I throw something, it goes through your chatzer, so it's still traveling, it was never moving up. Right.
Yeah, that's so Avir of a Chatzar. That's Avir al Chatzar. How does that work again in the sugyas of Avir?
Right. Shaila would seem to at least indicate that in the case where it's
where it drops in, you have something. I don't
remember. All right, so this, that's the chiddush. The Avni Miluim bases on a Rashba later on, that if I put the get in a place that's not really a long-lasting place, so even though for temporarily, for 3 seconds, it's good, that's not good enough. So I guess the Aver is going to be different. Now, we spoke about Aver, Kluta, and all those types of svaras we dealt with once before. I just want to mention that Marit Al-Ghazi has a kash over here. That Marit Al-Ghazi asked, if you looked at the Rambam, the Rambam says, what happens if you throw it onto the Pisla? So the Rambam says, so then, if it's its own Rishos, so what do? Eidam Mugureshis at Shiagia get Lyoda. Then she has to pick up the get. In fact, the Marit Al-Ghazi, it's Taligitach Me'agabe Karka. What do you mean she picks up the get? Where's the Maisa Nesina? What happens? You throw the get into a non-polygrishus la'atmi. So that's basically it's the husband's possession. She walks over and picks up the get. That's not, where's the Maisa Nesina? How can that even be a Nesina? The halach is the husband has to make a Nesina from him to her. When I throw the get into my property and she walks over and takes it, that's Taligitach Me'agabe Karka. So in the Sefer of Zeus Liakov, he wants to tie in the Chiddush in the Rambam. The Rambam holds that even though the Rashba says that you can't make a Hanocha there, you can be Mekayim Nesina there. Even though the Chotzer is not catching the get because it bounces, but that's enough to be called a Maisa Nesina. So it won't be a problem of Tligidah because you made a Nesina L'Rishusa. That was called a Nesina. It wasn't a Kinyan because it bounced, but that was enough to be a Nesina. So now when it bounces and flies and the Isha goes and picks it up, so she made the Kinyan, he made the Nesina, and that would be a good get. That's how he wants to answer up this kasha on the Rambam. Why is it not a kasha of Tligitech? Because ain't a chanami, according to the Rashba, when you put the get in a bumpy place, it's not a kinyan, but it's at least a mice and a sinah. He splits the two, the venosan and the kinyan. So this is enough to be a nesina, not enough to be a kinyan. So when the isha goes and picks up the get, then she'll have her kinyan. Okay, next week we'll go